WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
One of the most dramatic soap operas of rock and roll has been the history of the band Fleetwood Mac. It's a story of sexual intrigue, psychoses, money woes, and drugs. And it's all told in the new book, Fleetwood, My Life and Adventures in Fleetwood Mac, written by my guest, Mick Fleetwood. Fleetwood Mac was founded in England in 1967 by guitarist, singer, and songwriter Peter Green. But 3 years later, Green quit the group to join a fundamentalist religious cult. Bassist John McVie's wife, Christine, became the band's new singer. Then guitarist Jeremy Spencer disappeared and was found at a Children of God commune. In the mid-70s, the band hired Lindsey Buckingham and Stevie Nicks, two songwriters and singers who contributed a new pop sound to the band and led them to superstardom. But the pressures of this fame led to the breakup of all their relationships. They continued to record and tour together, fueled on by new love affairs and drugs. The turmoil of this time surfaced in many of the songs on their best-selling album, Rumors. Fleetwood Mac has a new album, Behind the Mask, and they'll begin a tour next week. Christine McVie and Stevie Nicks say it will be their last, but Mick Fleetwood says that the band will continue. I asked Fleetwood how he first started drumming.
I became aware that I wanted to be a drummer when I was about 9 years old. And I got my first drum kit a few years later. My father, who was not, quote, a drummer, he had an amazing sense of rhythm, not only with his hands, but he also wrote as well, and his poetry and the way he reads. And I was very lucky. Before he passed away, he recorded everything, so his cadence has an uncanny knack. In fact, so much so that I've actually cut a couple of drum tracks playing to him, and he's absolutely perfectly in time. But he used to play at parties and things on bottles, you know, with different levels of water, and play with bits of change in his pocket, you know, tapping money in his pocket. That's about as near as I can get to any reason why I would be obsessed with wanting to be a drummer at that age. And I really was. I was determined to be a drummer, and I had this sort of dream, if you like, that increasingly got more and more feverish, which led up to me leaving school when I was 15 years old.
Let me just backtrack a little bit there, because I know that you had learning problems in school. You didn't often even stay in school. You ran away from the boarding schools that your parents sent you to. But I'm wondering how your problems with learning, whatever they were, actually affected your ability to play drums, or even if you did have true learning disabilities, if that's something you've had to compensate for, even playing drums.
It's definitely affected, and I go into that in the book a little bit, that and it's turned out sort of to my advantage, because I happen to play in a very simplistic fashion, and it's, I suppose one could say, which was certainly something that Peter Green, who started Fleetwood Mac, recognized about my playing, which happened to be and is very suited to, especially to playing blues formatted music, where you play from your heart, you know, versus trying to be some show off some technical prowess, which is usually a waste of time as far as I'm concerned.
In those early days that the band would fall apart if you didn't all live together, and you I believe bought a house in the country and everyone kind of moved in together.
Bennyfolds, yeah.
Yeah.
That's very true. And before that, we actually rented a house which was very close to Bennyfolds, called Kiln House, which was the first album we made without Peter Green. And we were sort of a bunch of lost souls, really, without our leader, our mentor, that Peter Green most certainly was. He was a very powerful young man. And yes, I thought it was very important for, at that point, to be together. Otherwise, I think I had feelings that the whole thing might just drift apart.
And people have come in and out of the band, and you mentioned Peter Green and others that have really taken a kind of downturn, I guess, as a result or after having been with Fleetwood Mac. What happened with him?
Well, Peter became disenchanted. He was a very ambitious young fellow, young man, in the healthiest possible sense of the word. Because he was very generous in terms of he was on no ego trip, I can assure you, musically or otherwise. But he knew what he had, and he got it. Because you have to remember, Fleetwood Mac was very successful before rumors in Europe. And he basically let the very thing that he created turn against him. And he became something. He had a tremendous presence, and as such, really had a power. I truly believe he had a real power that ended up freaking him out. And he did dabble, not a lot, but there again, who's to say? In fact, he said it himself on a BBC documentary a couple of years ago. And he said, well, I think I just took too much acid, you know, and that was the end of it. And I'm not suggesting that he's a throffing idiot, because he's not, but he's a changed person that no longer really functions in any shape or form in the way that he did before. Yeah, it's a bit upsetting.
How much were drugs a part of the musical life of Fleetwood Mac?
During the rumors days, it was very much so. It was a real drug fest, fully confessional. And the ensuing roller coaster that continued for several years was also a drug fest.
And the roller coaster, you mean the kind of...
Just the carryings on of, I mean, from rumors. You have to remember that album surpassed anyone's wildest dreams. It set all sorts of records in terms of sales and God knows what. We were public domain. Our private lives were very literally like an open book. And that's what I'm construing as a roller coaster. We lived very high on the hog when we worked. We traveled in grand style, and we had a lot of fun. And in writing this book, it was somewhat sobering when you go, like, oh my God, were we actually doing that? And you realize that you were, and sustaining it for years, really.
What was going on between all the members of the group, is Stevie Nicks and others as well, yourself included?
Going on? Apart from the I presume you're maybe asking about relationships, our emotional
That's
life
right.
was in complete disarray. Absolutely, ridiculous. I was spared, my marriage broke up. I was spared the sort of misery of having to be around someone you either loved or had fallen out of love with, which was the case with, Stevie and Lindsay and Chris and John. And ironically enough, the band itself became the catalyst that pulled us all through, amazingly enough.
Well, I wonder, even as your wife was having an affair with Bob Weston, who played with the band, how you could get up on stage with him. Kind of discipline.
That wasn't too pretty, no. I attempted to put the old English stiff upper lip attitude and to try and finish the tour. But I have to confess that I did it for about a month, a little over a month or so, when I realized the chips were down. And I just said, I'm in danger of losing the old faculties here. I think I've got to say this is enough.
Did you feel, though, that you needed some level of turbulence and upset to be creative, and that somehow out of all this energy would come a more creative kind of music?
Well, the fact of the matter, it did. I mean, specifically, of course, like during the Rumours, the making of that album has to be the best exponent of a lot of the emotion that we got was going on, made its way onto the old vinyl. But a great deal of the time, you don't have to delve very far into many of the great artists and poets and writers, and you usually find that there's a good chunk of self-destructive motivation going on, and that's just a fact of life. I think often in times of duress, it seemingly some of the best work can come out, and that just is part of life.
Mick Fleetwood's new book is Fleetwood, My Life and Adventures in Fleetwood Mac. You can go your own way. This is Fresh Air.